Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts through these words now, I ask, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. There was an elementary school teacher who was standing in the front of her class pointing to a map of the world on the wall. And she said, "Maria, would you come up and find North America?" So Maria came up and pointed. The teacher said, "Correct. Now, class, who discovered America?" And the class said, "Maria." Well, today we're going to try to discover what was the secret of the power and explosive growth of the early church. And as we look at the early church, it really began with a few disciples and exploded over the next couple of hundred years. And there was a secret to that. In 1937, the U.S. had a law which forbade any airships from having helium as its primary gas. Instead, required airships to have hydrogen. And so when the Hindenburg came and to New Jersey and it ultimately crashed, most of the crew died not because of the crash, but because of the resulting fire from the ultra-flammable hydrogen. The designer of the Hindenburg, Hugo Egner, from that day on, made a decision never to put hydrogen in his dirigibles, in his blimps, in his balloons again. And certainly any sort of airship like that has to have some sort of gas in order to make it fly, float, and fly. And so, if you'll allow me to use kind of an analogy related to that, our human bodies are designed by God as that which contains not a gas, but rather a human spirit. In fact, in Genesis, we read that God breathed into Adam the spirit of life, and he became a living being. So God imparts to each one of us, when we're born, a human spirit. The spirit is the essence of who we are. We are created in the image of God, and that spirit is that which is in the image of God. And so as we have that human spirit living within us, that is the spirit that is designed to have a relationship with God, who is spirit. And so what happened to our human spirits, however, was that they became infected with the disease of sin. We have a genetic defect of sin that is passed on throughout the generations, so that each one of us is infected with this proclivity to do that which is contrary to the commandments of God and to the will of God. And so, because we have this human spirit that is sinful, we have to have some sort of remedy for that. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus gives us the remedy for that sinful human spirit. So if you wouldn't mind turning again in the Bibles to John chapter 14, that's on page 1675 in the Pew Bibles, John chapter 14. And in that particular passage, Jesus is preparing his disciples for the eventuality of his departure from the earth. He's telling them that one day he's going to be crucified, buried in the tomb and raised again. And then he's going to ascend back to the place from where he had come, back to heaven. And so he's preparing them for that eventuality, but he's telling them that he's not going to really be going away from them, leaving them abandoned. Instead, he's going to still be with them, but he's going to be with them through someone else. He's going to be with them through the Holy Spirit. And so in chapter 14, verse 15, we read it, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Now, the Holy Spirit had been living with the disciples and with the people of Israel throughout their history. But the Holy Spirit had never come to fully live in someone permanently. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to come to live inside of you. And so when the apostles and disciples experienced the risen Jesus, when he had appeared to them, on one occasion when he appeared to them, it says that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So he imparted to them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of them. They became born again of the Spirit, as Jesus said. They've had a new spiritual nature in them. And so they became children of God at that point. and followers of Jesus Christ. And as they became followers of Christ, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of them. And that's what happens to us as believers. When we come to believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit reminds us that we belong to God through Jesus Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit also does a number of other things outside of causing us to have a new spiritual nature. The Holy Spirit, when He comes to live inside of us, reminds us that our sins are forgiven. Reminds us that we have a home in heaven. And lets us know that we have a relationship with God, that we can communicate with God personally. And so the Holy Spirit also does a number of other things. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit helps us to recognize that there is something that needs to be done about our sinful human spirit. And the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us begins to transform our human spirits and makes them more and more like Jesus Christ. He develops within us what St. Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those qualities that really are a reflection of the qualities of Jesus, God wants to develop within us through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit begins to slowly, over time, change our human spirits and cause us to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Ideally, that's what the Holy Spirit is designed to do. The Holy Spirit also begins to give us the ability to love in the way that we could not otherwise love. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, Paul says, God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. And so the Holy Spirit is designed to help us to love the way that God wants us to love, the way that Jesus wants us to love. And so the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us gives us the ability to do those things that we would not ordinarily be able to do in the way of loving others. John, in our second lesson today, talks about that. He talks about the importance of loving one another. Listen to how he puts it. Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and in truth. It's so easy for us to say we love someone. It's so easy for us to mouth the words. But it's a whole different thing to really demonstrate that love for someone. It's easy, perhaps, to demonstrate that love for someone we're close to, but maybe it's more difficult to demonstrate that love for someone that we're not as close to, and even to demonstrate that love toward our enemies that Jesus commands us to do. And so the Holy Spirit has been given to us in order to be able to love others the way that God wants us to love them. Jesus said He was going to give us the Spirit of truth. So He's not only giving us the Spirit that gives us the ability to love, but also the Spirit that gives us the ability to know the truth and walk in the truth. Another thing the Holy Spirit does for Christians is to give them the assurance and the confidence that they are children of God. Give us the confidence that we have a home in heaven, that our sins are forgiven, that we have a relationship with God. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a guarantee of the resurrection that's going to happen in our bodies in the future. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to give us confidence that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit can also guide and counsel us. In fact, in our lesson from the Gospel, Jesus calls Him an advocate. In another translation, He's called the counselor. So the Holy Spirit, I believe, wants to speak to us, to guide us and lead us. If you remember our first lesson, Philip was led by the Holy Spirit to go up to the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot and to engage him in conversation. And what ended up happening? The eunuch became baptized, became a believer in Christ, and he went on his way rejoicing. God, I believe, wants to lead us and guide us to people with whom we can share the love of Christ, and perhaps with whom we can share the good news of Christ. So if we are open to listening to the voice of the Spirit, He wants to lead us and guide us, and He can counsel us to not only follow the commandments of God, but give us the power and the desire to do so. The Holy Spirit can also help us to experience the love of the Father and the Son. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 21. The one who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I too will love them and show Myself to them. You know, we often hear that phrase, God loves you. And it kind of becomes a trite phrase if you think about it. But if a person really focuses on what that means, you really are amazed and touched by the depth of God's love for us. Why would he choose to love us as sinful human beings? Why would he choose to even be conscious of us? Why would he want to have a relationship with us? Well, God loves us so much that he was willing to have his son sacrifice his life to take away our sins. He was willing to give up his only son to show his love for us. And if we recognize the depth of his love, we recognize that love is given to us in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of the things that we do or don't do, in spite of all of the things in our lives that might separate us from God. God chooses to share his love for us in Jesus Christ. And all that he asks is that we respond to that love by inviting Christ into our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to let us know that God loves us and that he cares for us. And if you forget that, then life really becomes pretty miserable. But if you go through life recognizing and remembering that God loves you, and even when bad things happen, you recognize that somehow God is going to be able to turn whatever is happening to you around, either for something that he's trying to teach you or to turn it around for some sort of good in your life. Ultimately, God's love is shown to us in the sacrifice of Christ. He demonstrated his love and that Christ is willing to lay down his life for us. And so if we're called to love others, that would involve laying down our lives for other people as well. That would mean not necessarily giving up our life in death for someone, but it would mean giving up something of our lives, sacrificing some aspect of our life to show the love of Christ to another. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we have the ability to love others in the way that Christ wants us to love them. We see that in the early church as they all were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They begin to go out and they begin not only to tell others about Christ, but to share the love of Christ with others as well. There's a story about a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit himself. His name was Doug Nichols. And Doug felt called to be a missionary to India. He didn't know the language. He didn't know much about the Indian people, but he did have some tracts and literature that were printed in the Indian language. And so he took those with him as he went to India. When he got there, he contracted tuberculosis. And in those days, when you had tuberculosis, you were isolated from others in a sanitarium or a hospital sort of place. And the place in which he was put was a place that was very dirty. It was not very well kept. It was not very hygienic. And it was filled with all sorts of sick people like himself. And so as he was in the bed one night, he woke up at 2:00 in the morning coughing with a cough related to his tuberculosis. And it woke him up. And when he woke up, he saw a man across the aisle lying in a bed. And that man was rocking back and forth. And he recognized that that man was trying to get up enough momentum to get out of the bed. He couldn't get out of the bed on his own. He was just hoping to be able to rock himself enough to be able to get out of the bed. And so he watched the man as he rocked and rocked. And finally, the man just laid back in bed and cried out of exhaustion. The next morning, Doug realized why that man was crying. That man had needed to go to the bathroom and instead had soiled his sheets. And all the patients were making fun of him. The nurses that came to clean him up were making fun of him. And one of them even slapped him in the cheek. And so Doug saw all this. And the next night, at about 2:00 in the morning again, he woke up coughing. And he saw the man again trying to rock himself to get out of the bed. And Doug got up the strength to get out of his bed and walk over. And he picked up the man and carried him into the bathroom, which in that place was merely a dirt floor with a hole in the ground. And so he stood behind the man and held him up as the man finished. And then he picked him up again and carried him and put him back in his bed. And when he laid him down in the bed, the man just took him by his cheeks and he just mouthed words which he understood to be thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, the next morning when Doug woke up, many of the patients were lined up at his bed. And they were wanting some of his literature that they had beforehand had rejected, had not wanted to receive at all. And they wanted his literature. They wanted to find out about the God who loved them, the God in whom he believed and who died for them. And so as he gave out this literature over the next couple of weeks, he said something amazing happened. He said that others had questions about God, and he was able to give them this literature. And he said over the next few weeks, many of the doctors and nurses and patients became believers in Jesus Christ. He said, now what did I do? I didn't preach a sermon. I couldn't even communicate in their language. I didn't have a great lesson to teach them. I didn't have wonderful things to offer them. All I did was take an old man to the bathroom. And anyone can do that. Someone said one time, people don't want to know how much you know. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. God has called each one of us to share the love of Christ with those to whom He might lead us, those we encounter in our daily lives. And as we do so, as we share the love with them, that may be the greatest sermon they ever hear. It might cause them to question, why are we doing this? It might cause them to wonder, what makes us want to love them in this way? We might have an opportunity to share with them about Jesus Christ. And they might even come to faith in Christ themselves. But whatever the case may be, we're called as Christians to demonstrate the love of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you would help us to be vessels of your love through Jesus Christ. That you would help us to share that love in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would cause us each day to, as we rise, to ask to be filled with your Spirit so that we might have the power to love you the way that you want to be loved, to follow your commandments the way you desire us to follow them, and to love others the way that you want us to love them. Lord, would you lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit each day to those who need to hear about your love and who need to experience it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.